Moving on to item six, please.
Item number six, from the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report providing an update on permanent supportive housing in Milwaukee County. This item will also be considered by the Committee on Health and Human Needs. It is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
And this is a report that actually was requested by myself. This committee is going to be paying very close attention to all the housing needs with regard to supportive housing along with health and human needs, but specifically with regard to housing and the development of supportive housing throughout the county. And Director Cologne, do you want me to start with Mr. Matthew? Mr. Matthew, I think you prepared a report for us, and then you were requested to provide the map, and I see you've done that, so please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, Supervisors. So just an informational report just to kind of get everybody up to speed on permanent supportive housing. Some history behind this, the Housing Division was created about 5 years ago, really to focus on the needs of consumers in our mental health system. There's a lot of attention about housing conditions for that population back then. So really the focus of the Housing Division is, you know, what can we do as a division to focus all of our resources to try to meet that need? And really the permanent supportive housing model is what came out of that. What permanent supportive housing is and how we've used it in Milwaukee County is we're really trying to give individuals their own housing unit, their own apartment unit, and then give them wraparound support services. That can come in two different forms. Most of what we've done has been called project basing, where and some of you I know have seen these models where we have services right on site in the building. So majority of consumers in supportive housing are affiliated with Milwaukee County case management, either through our existing case management programs or contracted social service agencies. And we try to give additional support services on site for those that might not be able to maintain an apartment on their own. And the other important piece is the rental subsidy that we generally attach to these units. Most of the consumers we try to assist are generally on SSI, have approximately $700 and some a month on income, so it's really important that we bring that rental subsidy in also. Prior to us starting these initiatives, a majority of our consumers did live in their own apartments without the services that they might have needed, kind of shared room and boards throughout the city and supported apartments that were shared units and also CBRF. So we're really trying to place individuals in the least restrictive setting possible and then give them the services they need on site. The exciting thing is we're definitely seeing, even though the model can be fairly expensive with tax credits and everything that it takes to get them built, and I'll go into that later, but we're really seeing a quality of life change for our consumers. We're going to see less reliance on behavioral health division services, inpatient stays, incarcerations, emergency room visits. That's really the goal when you're dealing with permanent supportive housing, is really to reduce those public resources and improve people's quality of life. So that's really kind of the project basing we're focused on. We've had a scattered site project for many years in Milwaukee County called Shelter Plus Care. It's now $2.8 million. It's grown over the years. So we house about 400 to 450 individuals who are homeless and have a permanent disability. It could be mental health. It could also be substance abuse, HIV, AIDS, things of disability of long duration, as HUD would say. And that's a scattered site program where individuals pay 30% of their income towards rent. If it's zero income, we pay all of their rent. And HUD ensures that they have permanent case management. So that's generally provided through Milwaukee County through targeted case management, our community support programs. We also contract with a few homeless shelters that provide those case management services, and individuals kind of get their own voucher and can move anywhere within Milwaukee County. So it's a little different than our project basing we've done. Individuals can take that voucher and travel throughout the county with it. So those really are our main two areas of supportive housing, between the project basing and the scattered site. So how the Housing Division has partnered with developers, one of the ways is through gap financing. The county had started a special needs housing trust fund in the past. We used about $3 million of that trust fund money. The goal is almost all of these units are funded by WIDA's low-income housing tax credits. Can generally fund 80, sometimes 90% of the development costs. Due to the low rents, and a lot of our folks having no income, developers really need to try to get these developments as debt-free as possible. So WIDA can fund a majority of that, but there's still a gap that needs to be funded, and that's really what we used our housing trust fund money for. The city also has their own trust fund and has invested in a majority of the projects that we've partnered on. We've also started to use kind of other areas of the housing division, Bradley Crossing, the development Brown Deer, we used home money for. So they didn't receive housing trust fund, but they received $500,000 in home money. So that's another way that we've kind of partnered as far as gap financing. We've also started to use CDBG funds, not so much for the capital construction, but we this past year we gave money for peer support specialists out at our Brown Deer development in order to fund the services, which is another important piece. We talk gap financing to get these developments built, but really the success is built with the services that are on site. It's really the most important piece. And the county's funded quite a bit in social services annually through the budget also. Before I get to the services, the other important piece that I mentioned briefly is the rental subsidy. And again, we fund these developments with rental subsidy in two different ways. So shelter plus care, again, I mentioned the scattered site units, but also our Section 8 program within the housing division. The county historically had not project-based, didn't really have experience in these type of developments. HUD allows you to take 20% of your whole entire voucher pool and use that for project basing. So we had quite a bit of vouchers that we could do project basing with. So again, individuals pay 30% of their income towards rent. And that's really the key for investors that are trying to invest in supportive housing. It can be seen nationally as a riskier type of investment with individuals with low income who we're trying to serve and to get investors interested in working with us. It's that guaranteed rental assistance. It's the 15-year project-based contract that makes investors interested in working with us on this. So again, the supportive services piece is very important. We have a little under $700,000 in property tax levy right now going towards these services. Again, from what we've seen, we control the waiting list. We know these individuals that we place with case managers into this housing. We really believe that they've been a lot more successful than their previous housing placements, and in general, it's really saving the taxpayers in Milwaukee County money on other services, providing these on-site services. And what that's going to look like, again, is peer support specialists. I know a lot of you have probably heard about that model. These are individuals who have been in the recovery process of their mental illness, have received training, and are on-site at almost all of our supportive housing developments. We also have other professional staff full-time. Each service model is a little different, which we think is a good thing. A lot of what we're trying to do is focus around consumer choice, not only with different neighborhood choices, but different service packages. So each development is going to look a little bit different. So case managers, consumers can kind of pick and choose what service model or what neighborhood they might like. As far as partnerships, what any developer would tell you is it takes many, many layers of financing and many partners. I did want to mention the support that the City of Milwaukee has given all these projects. They've probably matched about dollar for dollar what the county has for their housing trust fund towards these developments. The other thing historically, the city and the county started the Commission on Supportive Housing several years ago. It was Mayor Barrett at the time, County Executive Walker, that put together kind of, it's almost like a watchdog group of appointees to make sure the city and the county continue to develop supportive housing, make sure it's still a best practice model. So that continues to this day. I staff that with Martha Brown from the DCD. So they continue that partnership. The city's also done a lot of zoning changes, which have been very beneficial to supportive housing. Changing density requirements, parking requirements that made these developments a lot more expensive in the past. So they've been a very good partner as well. As far as the future of supportive housing, one of the main issues we're dealing with is in our Section 8 program. We're coming up fairly close to our 20% voucher mark, but with sequestration, we're going to be taking a sizable hit next year. it's going to be very difficult for us to do much more of this development with our project basing or our Section 8. It's going to be a very big challenge with our budget. So we're going to be trying to find some creative ways to possibly fund rental assistance locally or outside of the Section 8 program. It's just it's a huge hurdle. It's the same thing with the city, same thing nationally. It's really going to be a challenge. We have applied for HUD bonus funds, that they're called, through the local continuum of care, to do 40 scattered site units for chronically homeless. We're waiting to see if that gets awarded to us. But we're just going to have to be a lot more creative in how we fund rental assistance. It's really going to be an issue moving forward in our community for supportive housing. So that's one of the challenges. Another challenge that I think we've made a lot of progress on is making sure we have supportive housing in every area of Milwaukee County. It's something I'm really focused and passionate about. We have now a Highland Commons in West Allis and Bradley Crossing in Brown Deer. So we're really trying to move in the direction of offering our consumers supportive housing spread out throughout the county instead of just concentrated in the city of Milwaukee where we started. And we're able to use a lot more tools with our home funds cannot be used in the city of Milwaukee. So there's potential for developers that we can assist with gap financing outside the city that we really hadn't used in the past. So we'll continue to focus on that. Madam Chair, you asked for a map and some development costs, and actually the best document was something that appeared in the Journal Sentinel that had all that information there for you, so I passed that out. One of the things that we're also trying to do when we look at consumer choice, we actually did a survey and surveyed all the consumers in our targeted case management programs and our community support programs, really to find out what housing options they want and specifically what neighborhoods they wanted in. So it's what we thought about for our Highland Commons development in West Allis. That was one of the top two choices of our consumers. And the other one, not surprising, is the east side of Milwaukee, where we did the Farwell Studios building, which is very close to the lakefront and a pretty it's a very nice neighborhood, and our consumers are excited for that opportunity. So that's really the information report. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that presentation. You said the map you provided was from the a Journal Sentinel article?
Yes, it was a Journal Sentinel article on faith-based partners that they did. It was surrounding United Methodist Children's Services, I think, at the time.
But you've had an opportunity to check in. It's yes. Correct as far as you're concerned?
Yes, I provided the information for it.
Committee, let's see, Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you.
Johnson, Bowen, Weishaupt.
I'm going back to your gap financing. How is that a grant or a loan or is that a revolving loan?
At the time,
how much is it?
For the housing trust fund?
No, the gap financing when you're doing construction. When you're talking about the construction, you have gap financing in a number of areas.
Sure.
But I'm talking about the construction area when you said they need some gap financing. Is that a grant? Is that a revolving loan fund? Or what?
Sure. The WIDA funds are all through the low-income housing tax credit program. So again, it's a annual competition that WIDA has that developers go after these low-income housing tax credits, and it's a way to really subsidize the construction costs. It's a way for larger banks or businesses to kind of offset their tax liabilities by investing into affordable housing.
Okay. There's two things. I know about the tax credit.
Okay.
But you said you provide gap financing.
Sure.
For that gap. That's what I'm trying to figure
sure.
out.
Sure, okay.
What's the funding source for that, and how much do you give those individuals for the gap financing?
Sure, Supervisor. Sure, there's really two ways that we've done that. The first way that a lot of communities do is through our home program, so that's HUD-funded money. That's generally be given as a 0% interest loan. Our housing trust fund has typically been grant funds in the past. Again, a lot of developers mention, especially with supportive housing, you really want to try to be as debt-free as possible. So when the city and the county created their housing trust funds, it was a serious discussion about will it be grants, will it be loans. It was decided at the time to get all these projects started that those funds should be grant funds. So that's what our communities did. But in the future, that may change.
Okay, because I remember when we started, you had $1 million, went up to $2 million. Mm-hmm. How much money is still in that grant?
Currently none.
No, so we don't have any funding for gap financing or that, for correct?
That's correct, with one exception.
To $500,000 from the Jewish program.
I'm sorry, say that again, Supervisor?
To $500,000 from the Jewish service program to put some more money in there.
Yeah, that was through our home allocation from the previous year.
So you put that in the trust fund?
No, the home funds are a totally separate pot. Those are federal funds.
No.
But with one exception as far as the housing trust fund, though, the board approved a mental health redesign package. $200,000 of those funds we're looking at setting aside for, it's not technically the housing trust fund, but it's a very similar concept. We're going to be taking those funds and doing supportive housing for individuals aging out of foster care through our wraparound program. We really focused on mental health issues, but we can replicate this model for disability services through wraparound, a lot of different areas in the county that we haven't done before. So we will be setting aside $200,000 in gap financing.
That's a whole different program. That's totally different what I'm looking for right now. The construction for the housing trust fund, there's no money in there, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then you talked about the different programs. You said less program. You skipped around. You're going down. Let me go to the rental. When we rent some of these programs out, most of our programs are wraparound programs for those people when they get in these different housing projects. Am I correct? Okay. Because you say it was cutting back, but I thought you say it was less burden on on our services. But if it's a wraparound program, if they're in that building, they're still providing that service to those individuals, correct?
Correct.
And the other one is the voucher when you're talking about rent assistance. Now, they are cutting rent assistance out or what?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, with the sequestration, there several of our HUD-funded housing programs will likely take a hit. We're projecting for our Section 8 program right around $600,000. It's roughly a $12 million program. We were very fortunate, and this board is aware of a lot of the reforms we've done in that program as well, changing per unit costs. Luckily, we won't have any families losing rental assistance. A lot of those changes we made for different reasons are become very, very beneficial to absorbing that $600,000 hit. So we won't have any families at risk, but it will affect our growth. It will affect moving people off a waiting list, doing more project basing, because we're pretty much up to our 100% level now.
How big is that waiting list?
I'd have to check with Dina Hunt to see what the waiting list was. It was several thousand families long in the past. We did ask for an update and did a new mailing. I'm not sure what that current number is. I'd like to say it's under 1,000.
Right, because you did a purge of that list to make sure that we brought the wait list down.
Yes.
I'm just curious how big that list is.
I believe, Supervisor, it's under 1,000, but I can get you the exact number from Ms. Hunt.
All right, thank you.
All right, Supervisor Johnson next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Matthew, I want to thank you and your predecessor Jim Hill for the valuable work that you and your staff have been doing throughout the years. I want to, looking at the 13 projects that we have on this sheet from the Journal Sentinel, how many of these projects, a lot of these names are familiar, how many of these projects are projects that we have participated in? All of them?
Chair Supervisor, all of them, yes.
And I added, with my cell phone, I added up the cost to construct these projects and came up with $132.1 million. So, again, I want to thank you and I want to thank the City of Milwaukee for the collaboration by being able to put money together, taking the weeded tax credits that the developers have applied for, and to lessen the burden, because that General Sentinel series of a few years ago was very scathing as it relates to how we were taking care of those who were receiving mental health services. So I want to thank you for your valuable work. Thank you, Director Colon. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Weisham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the report. My concern for a long time has been the clustering of these facilities, and I think the map does represent that. And I think as we move forward, We may have to figure out some more creative ways to get the suburban communities to participate in these projects. You know, 13 projects and 11 of them are within the city of Milwaukee. And as you heard, there's the city of Milwaukee has participated. But the suburban community makes up one-third of the population. So I would expect that at least, right, at least, you know, 3 out of 10, 4 out of 10 of the projects should be outside the city of Milwaukee. So I would hope that we would continue that goal and that you could, like I said, try and develop some creative ways that we might be able to finance some of these projects, whether it is block grant funding or, you know, different ways that we can participate. Thank you.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for showing us the research and the details on this. Has there been any talk of engaging members of the ICC and educating them and their communities on the possible opportunities of, you know, creating more partnerships and getting more housing for people with disabilities?
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisor, I'm glad you brought that up. We're now attending all the ICC work groups. I'm not sure if that occurred in the past. Rob Henkin from the Public Policy Forum is actually the chair of that committee. So we're going to be attending those meetings to talk about our block grant reforms and, again, kind of catch these communities up on everything we're working on in the housing division. So that's certainly something that we'll be talking about.
Thank you. And I think that's just one of the opportunities to engage leaders from those municipalities that don't have supportive housing yet. And also, when it comes to the trust fund that was created, was it in partnership with the city, where the city created their own, we created our own? And what was the ratio like in investing in some of these projects? Was it 50-50 sure. with the county and the city? Was there a certain percentage that we were aiming at?
Sure, Madam Chair, Supervisors. They were created about the same time. The major difference is our housing trust fund has always been focused on projects serving individuals with mental health needs. The city's funds are really just for affordable housing in general. They have supported these developments fairly close to the same dollar amount that we have. But they have a larger goal of general affordable housing, and ours was really focused on that particular need.
Gotcha. And the city, would it be where they apply for those affordable housing funds, or those federal funds?
As far as the housing trust fund?
Yeah.
A similar process to ours. It's a lot more competitive. I sit on the advisory board for the city's housing trust fund, so it's a lot more competitive because you have developers doing all different types of affordable housing that are competing for those funds. There are a few developers at one time that needed our housing trust fund dollars, so it was generally one or two developers at a time that we had the funds for. It's a lot more competitive, kind of through an RFP process through the city. I believe in the current budget, they still provide about $400,000 a year in their housing trust fund, which isn't a lot for all the affordable housing needs in Milwaukee, but it still continues. It's just a smaller investment than it was in the past.
And my second question is it that the municipalities just aren't aggressive in getting allocations, federal allocations for affordable housing so that they can be built in their communities, or trying to find out where's the disconnect?
Sure, Madam Chair, Supervisors. I guess it's just a matter of what those local community needs are, what they identify them as. We have had communities that are a little reluctant to do supportive housing and affordable housing in general. It's something we're really being aggressive about, working through fair housing. And we've spoken to communities that are a little more open than they had in the past, trying to get communities to see a lot of the developments we've done. And by the way, I'm happy to do tours for any of you that are interested. I mean, these are very, very nice buildings that anybody would be fine living next to from a physical plant perspective. So there's just been reluctance for affordable housing in general for some of our communities that we're really trying to work with.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Madam Chair, there was a project that was being engaged in, was it St. Francis?
Correct.
And we know the status of that. I know they did come back and said that they would maybe pursue it maybe later. But I know that there were resources from the county that would be invested in that project. And
sure.
I don't know if we already did something else with those funds.
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisor, those funds are still reserved for that project. I believe we have block grant funds and home funds for that project. Sisters of St. Francis and Cardinal Capital are still moving forward with it. Their intention, I believe, is to go for the next round of tax credits in WIDA in February. I think they're trying to piece together other potential financing mechanisms to maybe do something prior to that, but I think that is what they're going for, but our funds are still reserved for that project.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I'm actually going to pass the gavel to you.
Okay.
I've passed the gavel, so I'm going to ask a few questions, maybe a bit more pointed.
Sure.
Supervisor Weishan, to some extent, hit some of the issues. As Supervisor Sanfilippo left the board, he stood up on the board floor and criticized the board for our lack of movement on getting more of our mental health facility moved into supportive housing. And I note the map doesn't have a single project in Supervisor Sanfilippo's district. I personally sent a letter to Supervisor Sanfilippo and asked him to help identify some supportive housing sites. And his return letter, and I don't know if you received a copy of it, his return letter was that I trust Mr. Matthey to work on that. Were you aware of that return letter?
Madam Chair, I was not.
I was not either, Madam Chair.
Okay. And Director Colon, if I'm stepping on your toes, please step right in there. I counted up the units. We have 476 units on this map. And I believe some of the HUD funding, some of the history of this is City of Milwaukee has gotten significantly some of its own funding, and I know have worked with Milwaukee County. But we have taken a new initiative with regard to supportive housing, with regard to getting more supportive housing in the community and really moving away from a long-term care model in our mental health facility. And in fact, that's one of Director Colon, that's one of the primary goals of the county executive's office as stated in the state of the county message. That was, I think that was number one that he hit. And I think this board has pretty much been in agreement with that we need to do more supportive housing. Supportive housing with regard to mental health issues is a community-wide. It's not just a city issue. And we need to start identifying where is the capacity in this county to do those goals. And I really, given that we're going to have sequestration and lack of new funds coming in, I'd like to know how we're addressing that.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think there are two separate things. With regards to our long-term care closure, those are different type of housing opportunities, such as CBRS, adult family homes, independent apartments with the proper supports to help those individuals live successfully and independently in the community. You may recall I sent a response to many of the questions that came up at the committee as a whole meeting, and there I also provided a map with where all of these CBRFs, adult family homes, a lot of these licensed facilities that serve many of these people are in fact in the suburbs, many of which are in Sanfilippo's district. And so this is a supportive housing option for many people, which happen to be located more in Central City. But I do want to make sure that this committee is aware of the fact that the majority of those other housing opportunities do, in fact, reside in the suburbs.
Okay, so this does not include and you're talking about the family care, community-based residential facility options and so on. And I understand the difference between these different issues. While they both can be supportive housing, you're talking about specific issues around the payment of that supportive housing. Director Cole.
Yes, Madam Chair. And what I'm talking about is really the housing model. So the CBRFs, the adult family homes, the supportive apartments are more tailored towards the individuals that are going to be relocating from the community from our long-term care units. These are individuals, I'm not saying that some of these individuals could not be in one of these settings. They may very well be after we do individualized plans for all these and determine their needs. They could be, but chances are they're going to require a different type of housing option, such as a CBRF or adult family home.
Well, in fact, many people suggest that the homeless, those that are homeless, actually have mental health issues. So I still say there is overlap there. It's just the way we classify it. And we don't have the CBRF concentration in this map, is what you're telling us.
Yes.
And I'm going to request that follow-up map then. I think we need to get the whole picture in front of us.
Sure. And, Madam Chair, I did provide that to you in that communication I provided to the whole board regarding the questions that came up at the committee as a whole. So I can, we can talk about that afterwards. See if you don't have it, I can make sure you get a copy of that.
Did we have the concentrations throughout the county?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize, I don't recall that piece, but I am going to, Mr. Chair, make the motion to receive and place this on file. I think this is an important enough report that it should be part of our formal record.
Excellent, Supervisor Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask. For that motion, that this this map also be included, a copy of the map also be included, so that board members can see what we are doing, at least with respect to supportive housing.
Excellent. Committee members,
thank you, Madam Chair, Supervisors. One thing I did want to add, I think as far as we're looking at different creative ways to continue supportive housing with our resource challenges, one of the good things is now with Teague Whaley Smith here as the Economic Development Director. I've worked with Teague for many years. He understands supportive housing extremely well. So I think there's some exciting partnerships between our two divisions that can happen that maybe hadn't in the past. So that's another possibility for us moving forward.
Excellent. Thank you, Administrator Maffey. Madam Clerk, we have a motion to receive and place on file. Would that be an amendment to include the map? Or you just include the map? Okay. Excellent. Can you call the roll on the motion to receive and place on file?
Supervisors Jurczyk?
Aye.
Mayo?
Excuse.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Taylor?
Excuse.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
All right. Madam Clerk,